219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.
affecting us. It is directly, because if you black, male or female, because they showed another video where a cop was just punching a black woman in the face. Just
in
punching,
Michigan.
Repeated.
Somebody want to Michigan?
And yeah, and we gotta understand that some people in authority, because some people like to say all cops not like that. Well, let's just talk about the ones that's like that.
Exactly.
We're dealing with some right
and
now.
Let's talk about the ones who stand around and watch those that are like that.
Exactly.
Don't do nothing about
it. Don't do nothing.
You know, they're just as guilty to me as the ones who are perpetrating. Speaking of racism, Ray, since you in Mississippi. Yeah, Ray. No, Ray. Look, let me tell you something. Racism all the time down there in Mississippi. Mississippi one of the most
yes,
racist states in the United States. There was a mayor in Mississippi who said, "If you can say I can't breathe, then you breathe."
Whoa. Well, let me say
that. Yeah, that's what the white man said. One of these little small towns in Mississippi said, if you say you can't breathe, there's an officer involved in George Floyd's arrest.
Wow.
They called it arrest, but it was a murder. Ain't no, how you arrest a dead man? You killed the man. How you arrest?
And then the cop with the one that had his knee in his throat, had his hand in his pocket. Wow.
Yeah, like a
casual situation.
This man down there begging for his life and telling you he can't breathe and calling for his mother and everything. And you just holding your 200-something pounds on his neck for eight to 9 minutes.
I just want to say,
who can survive that?
Who can survive that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then I was looking at when I was looking at the picture, I just stared at it because I'm saying, it was like he was not even a human being. You get what I'm saying? It was like he just had no regard.
No compassion at all.
And it was so easy for him to do it.
Yeah, no human compassion. Because he felt like, you have to understand something. Some of these racist police officers that are on this force feel that black people, they still have that same mentality that they had for slavery, that we are not human beings. We are animals. We're less than animals. That's just some of them. But they treat dogs that they do us.
Well, we have
you're right, because dogs got more rights.
I've seen white people go get dog food and bring it back to a stray dog on a corner, but turn their nose up to a black person who asked them for some money for some food. I've seen it out.
So we have a caller on the line, and I definitely want to hear that caller. I believe it's the guest of Ray. Ray, your guest is on the line.
All right, this is one of my classmates, actually. Her name is Raina Wells, and I was looking at her Facebook the other day, and she was, you know, upset and riled about what's going on. And she made a strong point about a lot of things that could happen. And part of it is about voting the right people in, too. So I talked with her, I chatted with her, and I wanted to see if she wanted to express herself on the show about what she was feeling and what she was thinking about the situation.
Okay.
Hi. How are you guys? Thank you for having me on today.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you. And I'm blessed. And I want to thank Raymond for inviting me to speak. And one of the things I really do want to say that's really bothering me is the lack of voter turnout in our communities. We're not voting. We're not doing it. We're not showing up. And then when these incidents happen, we want to scream like a whipped dog. But then what happens after that? Nothing. Outside of maybe some looting, you know, a couple of buildings getting burned down. Then after that, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Then we wait for the next case, then we get upset, and then it's like a vicious cycle. It happens all over again. It happens every year. It happens every few months. And we're not following through with our voting, which is one of the things that we can do. There are many things that we can do. But I'm thinking we need to be more consistent. We need to vote in every election. We need to encourage others to vote. We need to register others to vote. We need to speak to our kids about voting, especially those that are just turned 18 that are old enough to vote in certain states. We have to do it. We have to follow through with it. We need to implement it in our school systems. If teachers can take a second in their schools to talk to the kids about voting and how important it is, it has to be entrenched in our culture some way to where it's automatic, just like it's entrenched in other cultures. We're being left behind. We're being ignored, and we're not being taken seriously. We're being murdered in the street. We're being treated like animals, and we're not doing anything about it. Everything that we're doing is very passive aggressive in a sense. We're shouting, we're screaming, we're praying, but we're not doing anything that's adding up to true action. One of the things that I put on my Facebook page that I was very upset about, just like with the incident in Georgia with Ahmaud Arbery, was Georgia had an opportunity to vote in an African-American female governor, and they failed. They did not turn out and vote for her like I felt like they should have if you look at statistics. We have to take advantage of these opportunities. We just got off of having an African-American president for the first time in, you know, thousands of years, and look how that kind of turned out. He wasn't properly supported. His second term, he was left with a Republican House and a Republican Senate that he had to deal with, which pretty much hindered his ability to put in judges, to make the laws that could make change, that could actually help us or basically support us when these incidents happen.
Well, Randy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, Randy, the thing is, the problem with us is that as Black Americans, we don't understand our history and what we actually went through just to have the right to vote. We have so many young Black Americans who are complacent about voting because they don't understand. They don't understand the value, and they don't understand the political system. See, they want to. We sit back and complain and talk crazy and all that, but we don't exercise that right that so many Black Americans died for, just so you can have the opportunity to vote today. Because let me tell you something, just these last few last few years away again, they try over and over again, but we keep on, they keep on being upheld to let us vote. They really don't want us vote at all.
At all.
I mean, but see, it makes me so upset. And, you know, I have voting age kids. And let me tell you something. When they talk about they not voting, I lose my mind. I go crazy. I'll be like, what do you mean you're not going to go vote? We try to make it a family affair to vote. I round them all up, and we all go to the polls together. That way I know you voted. You know, because, like I said, young Black America is too complacent. We too social media worried about things. You know, we want to post everything on social media for likes and comments, but you don't get your behind up and go out and vote and stand in the middle of the lines or whatever and take advantage of the opportunity that you have. See, they don't understand the political system. And if we have to vote all the way down to the local election, you know, not just for the president. You know, some people just vote,
right.
I'm just the only vote for the president. No, that's not what you need to be voting for. The judges in your area, the councilmen, you need to be voting for every little thing that you have an opportunity to vote for. Because it doesn't do you any good to not vote, but you want to complain. My point is, if you're not going to vote, shut the hell up. You deserve whatever happened to you. So that's the way I feel about the situation. I wholeheartedly agree with you on the situation. We have to get out and start a movement where we get back to voting and not just stand around and complain.
Now I want to talk about, and I like that topic too, because we are taking our privilege for granted. We love taking our freedom for granted, you know. And it's not until somebody takes them from us that we realize that they were bad.
Right.
And that's sad. That's sad, you know, but it is a condition that we're dealing with today. Now, I want to talk about, sort of along the same lines of this young man that lost his life, the lady that was hit repeatedly by the police officer. I read a comment under that post where a young man, not going to say his name, said that that's what she gets. This is a black man. That's what she gets for being rude and disrespectful to authority.
All over the place. That's still our black society is still what's cool. The house nigga, I'm gonna just say it, the house nigga syndrome. Boss, we sick. You know, they feel concerned about Malcolm. You know, but don't understand that Malcolm don't care nothing about you. You know what I'm saying? If you die, he can find somebody to wear your clothes tomorrow and take your place and do exactly what you were doing the day before.
Exactly.
That's just how it is, too. But we want to be so concerned about we still over here looking for acceptance and validation by white folks, you know, in our black society.
Mm.
I have been subject to so many guys, me being a barber and being college educated, and you know, I have a lot of insight on different things. I've dealt with a lot of different things in society. I have a sociology degree and a barber's license. So me being both, I have a little bit more insight on certain things. And I have told guys and gave them some information and some advice, and they don't believe it until a white boy tells them the same thing I just told them. Then it's true. But if I tell you it's not true, but it could be the exact same word. Yeah, so I understand what we're dealing with in our society. We are still slaves in our own mentality. Uh-huh. We keep ourselves down a lot of times too.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring us. So I want to bring us to a place where we have to start dealing with what's going on within.
Standing out there filming the incident that happened when the officer had.
Thank you.
As a black man, I don't care. I'm just gonna be honest with you. You might say, "Well, he's saying that because he wasn't there." But I'm telling you myself, if I had seen that, I would have hit that white boy under his chin with an elbow. They just can't take both of us to jail. Because I'm not going to stand there and watch this man suffering. I see the man, the life leaving out of this man. You watching it with your camera on. Man, hit that white boy under his chin and let's go to jail together.
But
exactly.
You know, we came from a people that would go to jail together.
I've been to jail. It don't bother me to go to jail.
That's why I say we allow in our culture and our fight and we allowing our voice to be watered down and I can't even say it's fear no more.
It is fear.
Wait, hold on.
It's fear.
No, this what I'm. It's not to me. Some of it's fear, but some of it's just plain lazy. Plain lazy. They ain't messing with
right.
me. They ain't bothering me.
Right.
Like you say, complacent. People just, they mess with my little slice of the pie, you know.
Let me tell you something about JD. JD got a college degree from Hampton University. I graduated number 7 from my class in high school. And I also have a TDC number. I've been to prison. So it don't matter to me. Nothing you do to me will surprise me or can hurt me. Between those three things right there, I have got a lot of knowledge. And I grew up in the street. So now, what you gonna do to me? Like I said, if that had been me and I'd have been in Minnesota, I'd be in jail. Me and him would be in the same cell probably. Cause he'd have made it to jail. Cause I'd have hit that white boy on his chin like I was on the football field. He thought Mike Singletary was out there on the streets of Minnesota. The way I'd have hit that boy. I'm telling you.
What you gotta say about it, Ray? We listen.
Well, along the same line, you know, they were talking about, they posted, some people posted a picture on Facebook of Kaepernick doing a knee compared, you know, next to the guy, the officer that had his knee in the black guy's neck. And
right.
I was looking at the comments, and I was reading the comments. Now, think about what you said, Queen, about people, the black guy talking about, you know, that was she get for the girl or whatever the case may be. And I'm reading these comments, and blacks got into an argument on the Facebook because one felt that Kaepernick was wrong because he on one knee and he disrespecting the flag, which technically it wasn't about the flag, and being on one knee has nothing to do about the flag. Even when he first did it, soldiers came out and said, "I'm a soldier, I'm an ex-soldier." So it wasn't about the flag. It was about, until you start treating blacks right, that's when I'm going to stand up for the national anthem. But if people really go back and listen to the national anthem, every word of it, the part that they left out, it's a racist song. And
exactly.
These guys were actually literally arguing on Facebook and about to get into it. And my first thought was, y'all beefing about Kaepernick on one knee, you're beefing about this white guy on one knee, but they want you to argue with each other. They want you to get out here in the street and fight each other because you black. They want you to do it so they can lock you up. But instead of you going and speaking your mind to somebody that counts, like somebody in your local area or whatever, and instead of doing something about it, you want to fight each other behind some pictures or behind what a person's got on their knee for. And that stuff right there will be irritating me. Like you said, when the black guy tell me that's what she get, you know, that's like when they killed the Aubrey guy, a black lady guy on Facebook, and said, "Well, I'm tired of y'all saying it was about race. It wasn't about race, blah, 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 whatever." And it was, because the guy, come to find out, the guy that was filming the whole thing, he got locked up too.
Right.
Because they charged him with unlawful detainment because he detained the kid first. And he's recording it. Then they said they're going to try to charge him with murder too, because if somebody dies in the commission of a crime, you're technically part of it anyway. So by him detaining the boy till they got there, they supposed to get him, lock him up too. But anyway, blacks need to stop fighting each other and start coming together. And I'm looking at these people, and I'm like, really, y'all, really on this? I wanted to say something so bad, but I had to kind of watch what I say, because my mouth, I tend to just say whatever. I say whatever come out, whatever it is what it is. And if you don't like it, get it like Mike. That's all I can take. And I try to stay out of these little clowns' way, but these people was arguing. One guy, I looked at his page. He a gangster disciple because he got it all posted on his page. The other guy, he's just a nobody, but hey, neither one of them about nothing either way, because they need to be trying to find a job somewhere. But anyway, they out here beefing with each other about these pictures on Facebook. And I was like, really? Y'all ain't got nothing else better to do, but now y'all want to fight. And dude said, y'all, you know, he's inviting the dude, come bring it in, or they, we go fight, whatever. I'm like, y'all worried about fighting each other, and these people out here in the street killing us.
Right. But the thing is, our level of ignorance in our black society is ridiculous, brother. The thing is, we will, like you say, we will argue and start a fight with one another when we need to be organized and fighting against the powers that are against us.
Yeah.
You know, the racism and the blatant disregard for our life.
We get together.
We you know, we get together for a barbecue and all that, but we won't get together and you know, do something that we need to be doing. We don't have any leaders in our black society, and nobody said, you know, I mean, I'm part of it too, that nobody is really stepping up and taking a leadership role. You know, these guys who actually have a platform that could do it, you know, they actually are not organizing. You know, gone are the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X's Huey P. Newtons and all them guys, they gone, man. We need to get those type of guys back in our, you know, black men need to step back up again and start organizing and getting ourselves together. But we have too many catalysts that are going against us. They water down our society by throwing all these drugs. We got so many drug addicts and pill heads and alcoholics in our community. We can't them to organize for a damn AA meet, let alone for a organization meet, because they can't stay sober long enough to get themselves together and march in a straight line. Hell, they'll be staggering in the march.
So at the same time, you know, Raina, I agree with you wholeheartedly about we need to get out here and vote more for our people. We need to get out here and get people involved in voting. Like you said, people need to go and vote. Like you said, and like J.D. the Barber said, you can't sit back and not just vote for your councilman. You got to vote for people in your city. You got to vote for people in your area that you feel can make this happen.
Right.
So Raina, I agree with you 100%.
Most definitely. Yes, that's where it's all going to start. What Raina's talking about, we want to get back and understand the power of the vote and getting people in office who have an agenda that suits what we want or what we need to offset some of this racism in our system.
Go ahead, Raina.
Yes, and one of the things that it seems like that we are in is almost like Stockholm syndrome, right? Where someone is kidnapped and they fall in love with the person that kidnapped them. Or it's almost like the symptoms of a battered wife who doesn't leave the abusive husband because of fear of being conditioned into not doing so. And it's almost like we are desensitized to our own demise. It's almost like we've lived with this for so long through slavery and up until now, it's almost like when it happens, we're like, oh, okay, well, that's what's supposed to happen. Or it's just them. You know, that doesn't have anything to do with me. And it's stifling.
Raina, Miss Raina.
Yes.
Raina, you're kind of low. You might need to turn your microphone up because you're kind of low.
Okay, you're now? Is that better?
Yeah,
well,
that's better. Right there.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome when you know, a kidnapper falls in love with the person that kidnapped them. Or like when a person that's abused by, that you know, a woman that stays with an abusive husband, it's like, why don't you leave? Well, it's almost that battered woman's syndrome where they don't leave someone that's being abused. And it's almost like we're desensitized to the situation. We've been dealing with this since slavery. It has never stopped. It has just gotten decorated. It has been dressed up a little bit. It may not be as blatant in some situations, and then when it is, it's almost like it's okay. And it's not okay. It's very stifling. It's actually scary. And then we're talking about the events that we know about, the events that actually get media coverage. We have no idea how many hundreds or thousands of cases that happened a year. And I just saw an article on CNN just a minute ago that says 1 in 3 black people will have this experience.
Right.
It's unacceptable for us to constantly be in this tirade of terror and then go back to work like nothing has happened and then go back to our homes and clean our houses or whatever we go on about our daily lives. Like, you can't do that anymore. We have dropped the ball. We are not following through. We're not enforcing we're not enforcing our history. We're not embracing and enforcing and pushing voting and any other things that we can do to actually make this more consistent. We got to be consistent. The consistency has to come, or we're going to just be extinct at some point. And when it comes to voting, who do you think Trump listens to? He listens to his base, okay? When he talks and does all this unnecessary stuff, he's listening to the people that vote for him. He doesn't care about what anybody else says. Mitch McConnell, when he gets up there and comes up with his crazy ideas and his evil doer list or whatever he got going on, he listening to his base. They all say their base. Who's their base? The people that vote. It's not us. So how do we expect them to represent us?
That's right. That's right. You know, I just looked online to see the council people of Minneapolis where all that drama's going on. You got five blacks on it. You got five blacks on that council.
Right.
And from any news or anything, I haven't seen not one get on TV and say nothing about nothing.
No, you're not. They want to see the show.
I know. That's so bad. That's sad. You got five black people. Five of them, and I think four men and one black woman, and nobody has said anything.
Right.
And that's terrible. That's sad.
We have to help out our other minorities, too. The things that are going on in the Latin community is also unacceptable. I mean, to have kids in cages and have them urinating on themselves and not feeding them and not, you know, them being allowed to take care of themselves or to look after them, that's unacceptable. And wait,
yeah,
they don't treat them like that. It's just a matter of time before they get us. They're shooting us in plain sight. So, hey, you know, they don't have to put us behind closed doors and then lock us up and mistreat us like they're doing the Latin community. I mean, it's almost bigger than just us as well, because the mistreatment and the racism doesn't stop with us. It's with all minorities.
Right, exactly. But it's going to have to it's getting ready to like I said, it's got to change. Cuz I know as a black man myself riding down the street, I hate to see the police. You know what I'm saying? And the reason being because of the mindset in which they police our community. They police the black community differently than they do a white community. See, they go in a white community with the protect and serve type mentality. But when they come into a black community, they come over here to crack heads and take names. They come over here they come over here wishing they see something out of line. They find any little thing to harass black men and black women about. You know, they don't police our communities the same way as they do white communities. They police ours with that head crack mentality. You know, they would rather grab us and throw us on the ground and then search your pocket afterwards, what you got on you. You know, that type of mentality. But I have no problem telling you that I can be driving and have, you know, all the license, registration, and everything I could have in my pocket, on my person. And when the police get behind me, I still get nervous. You get that butterfly feeling in your stomach because you don't know as a black man when your next encounter is going to be with the police and how it's going to turn out. You know, it's just ridiculous to have to ride around town with that type of mentality, you know, and that type of mindset with the police when you're a black man. It's just a constant fear that you ride around with. And how are you supposed to have a, you know, I don't know what they, you know, a pleasant demeanor or a pleasant attitude when you're confronted with the police?
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm gonna tell you about a situation here in Mississippi that happened to me. I'm sure Reno remembers. We had a guy get killed by some officers here a while back by two police officers, and supposedly a black female was with him. But anyway, the same officers before that happened, I think right before that happened, those same officers pulled me over, and I was coming from Bible study on a Wednesday. And the two white officers and the black female got out the car, and they pulled me over here on the north side of town, which is, like, considered the drug hood. That's where all the drugs are. But I was riding around checking out my cousin's house because she stayed by herself most of the time. But anyway, they pulled me over and said that I refused to use my – I didn't use my turn signal. And then he tried to say that my taillight – something was wrong with my taillight or something. The white officers handling me, which they ain't doing nothing crazy. They ain't punching or nothing, because I don't know if I had to agree with that one. But they had me get out of the car, went to the back car, asked me could he search it. Me, technically, I didn't have to, but I said go ahead because I ain't tripping. I know I don't do anything. I don't have any drugs. I don't do drugs. So when he pulled me over and had me in the back, he took me to the back of the car with the white car. Now, the black female standing to the side. Now, mind you, she ain't said nothing the whole time. The white cop all in my car, he's searching, he's looking. I'm looking at him through the back window because I'm finna make sure he ain't finna plant nothing on me. So when he got done, he realized I didn't have anything. So he goes and whispers something to the other officer that's standing beside me. And then the tripped out part is he put me back in my car and opened the door for me to get in. He told me, go ahead and have a, but he wrote me a ticket for not using my turn signal. So, and then when I was getting ready to get in the car, after he got through searching the black officer, the female, she going to say, you just came from Bible study or whatever. I said, I don't want to talk to you. I said, you sat here and let these white boys handle me, and I'm standing in, and like I ain't nobody, but now you want to talk to me? I don't want to talk to you. What you talking to me for? So I just got in my, after he wrote my little ticket, and drove. I just drove off. And my stepdad, his brother was a police officer at the time, so I talked to him. And he said, they pull you over for what? He said, turning signal. He said, there's no law written that says you have to use a turning signal. He said, there's no law written that says you have to. It's just a courtesy. He said, you don't have to use a turning signal. He said, for one, that was a bogus right. That was. He said, for one. For two, you shouldn't have let him search you. He said, so he took care of the ticket for me, but he was like, the reason he said, let me tell you another reason why this ticket is bogus. You know, most time when they write you a ticket, you go to court within 2 weeks. This ticket was set out for like 3 months. A 3 month court date. All because they want to mess with me in the neighborhood. I ain't trip out. I ain't flip out. But, you know, I already know what you're going to do. If I tell you, no, you can't search my car, you're going to bring the dogs. I'm going to be sitting on the side of the street, whatever.
Right,
I got time for that. But when he searched my car and couldn't find that, he went and whispered to the white other cop, white other white cop. And like I said, the black girl just standing there watching the whole time. Then she going to want to talk to me. And I was like, don't talk to me. I said, I used to let these two white boys just sit here and handle me and treat me like I'm an average dude on the street. And now you want to ask me a question because she saw my Bible on the seat. I said, oh, now you want to talk to me about the Bible? Really? I don't want to talk to you. I'll get out of my car and drove off. And like I said, the cop, he put me back in the car, opened the door for me and everything. Oh, you just have a nice day. Oh, really? So that's why I say, you know, these black officers don't say nothing. These white cops treat you like they want to even here. But there is one black cop that did come on Facebook. He said he's speaking out, and he spoke out about the incident that's going on in Minneapolis right now. He said, ain't nobody else going to say nothing, but I am. He said, them guys were wrong for that. And the first thing I thought about, I said, yeah, you're going to be fired tomorrow. I said, about time somebody decided to stand up. But, yeah, that right there, the white cop, even here, they racist. And like I said, they had, not too long after that, they ended up killing a black guy. They killed a black guy here in town. They didn't fire him. They let him resign.
Right.
So that gives you, when you resign, they give you opportunity to go anywhere else and be a cop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. It's going to have to be a complete overhaul of the justice systems in these different towns and different cities. And the culture and the mentality is going to have to change. And the only way it's going to change, because there's so many officers already on the force, there's going to have to be some officers who start to stand up against this foolishness. If that doesn't happen, it's never going to change. That's just, I mean, it's just too embedded into these systems now for it to be changed from the outside. It's going to have to be a change and a mentality change and a culture change from the inside. So these racist cops are all spread throughout all these cities, all over the United States. And every police force, every little small town, every little nook and cranny that somebody with a badge on, you got some racist cops there. So it's going to have to change from the inside out. It's not going to change. The outside forces are not going to be able to change.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. I'm just really at a loss for words, and like I said, I don't really understand where we're gonna have to start, but we're gonna have to start. You know what I'm saying? Because right, like I said, even with all my paperwork together and knowing that I don't have no warrants or nothing, I still can't stand to see a police officer get behind me. It just makes me nervous and fearful while I'm driving, and that's not a place where you can function well. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just not understanding this, brother. I don't know what we're going to have to do, but something's going to have to be done.
I hope somebody comes up with an answer and comes up with it quick. Right, we need
to stuff that really
matter. Instead of standing outside waiting on a new day.
Right.
We get together for the new damn Jordans. It'll be, we know it's 150 pair of Jordans in that store, but we're going to have 600 people outside. How in the hell are all y'all going to get them damn Jordans?
And the bad part about it is it's the same Jordan because Jordan only made 12 shoes.
Oh, yeah. It's the same one. He just re-released
it's the same
them over
one.
And over again.
He just
and
that's right.
Jacked the price up a little bit, and everybody still come and get them. Same damn shoes.
Same shoes they make over and over.
But like I said, we are not the brightest bulb in the pack. We have a lot of dimwits. We have a lot of dimwits in our community. So that does not surprise me. I wish I could find something that I could sell them over and over again. Hell, I can't think of nothing right now. But give me a minute. I'm gonna think of something. Man, that's one thing we not gonna buy is knowledge. How many brothers you see standing in line at the bookstore when the books come out? Exactly.
Nobody.
They in line for them damn Jordans. Books come out every Tuesday.
That's right.
Don't nobody be in line for the no brothers be in line for no damn new books coming out. But they ain't in line. They know 6 to 8 months ahead when the J's coming out. And they in line with that. They out there with tits and fat lunches.
Okay.
And
they
want to fight.
Want to fight over the J's.
This topic is so awesome. But I want to just throw a monkey wrench in here.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
All right. All I'm going to say is, how do y'all feel about what Biden had to say about black people? Go.
I think you need to tell us, first of all, maybe somebody didn't hear what Biden said. What Biden said. Go ahead.
Okay. Biden said, if you don't understand why Trump needs to get out of office or why you need to vote him out or higher, then you're not black. Then you really not black. I may have misquoted or said it arranged differently, but that's the gist of it.
Right.
So, go ahead, somebody.
You know, me personally, who?
You want to tackle that one first, Ray?
Yeah, me personally, I didn't take it wrong because he's basically, to me, I took it as he's just telling you, okay, you still got this man in office, and y'all act like white people pretty much. But I look at it like this. I saw some comments about that, too. And I said, y'all are mad, and black people are mad because of what he said. But y'all ain't mad about what Trump has said from the beginning of his campaign?
Exactly.
Trump has said all kind of stuff at the beginning of his campaign, how he treat women, how he touch women when he want to. How he do this, how he do that. But ain't nobody complaining, but this man tell y'all you ain't black because you voting for this man and this man is against you. So why are you mad at that? Well, you should be mad at Trump. Some of y'all, you know, you got some blacks out there that like Trump. So some of y'all put him in office. So why are you mad? What you fussing for? Don't be mad because this man said you ain't black. Do something about it. But then at the same time, this man here from the beginning of his campaign told you what he does. How he treats women, how he pretty much think about everybody and anybody. He really don't care about nobody but himself. And you mad at this man for saying that. So me personally, I didn't take it wrong. So I think the ones that took it wrong probably the ones that voted for Trump anyway.
Well, let me tell you something, Ray. I feel the same way you just said, brother. Let me tell you something. Me and Queenie were in the car earlier today talking about this topic. And I told her, what's the difference between what Joe Biden said and what Donald Trump said when he was running for office saying that you ain't got no jobs, no how, you ain't this, you ain't educated, you ain't this and that. What do you have to lose by voting for me? That's the same thing. Donald Trump told black people, black America, you ain't got nothing to lose, you ain't got nothing no damn way. What is going to hurt you to go ahead and vote for me? And you know what happened? So many blacks went out and voted for this. I don't care what nobody says. it wasn't just white people voted Donald Trump in. There's no
That's
way
right.
that could have happened.
That's right.
There's
That's
no
right.
way that could have happened. So I don't want to hear, you know, once he got in office, all of a sudden nobody voted for him. That's a damn lie. So I don't have no problem with what Joe Biden is saying, and what he's saying is right. The way Donald Trump is with his rhetoric and his mentality, his propaganda, is all racist, anti-black, anti-brown, anti-everything except white. How in the world can you not vote this man out? If you don't get your behind up and go out and vote against Donald Trump and his regime, then I see why you're not black. I understand, and I damn sure agree with him, because you've got to be crazy if you got go out and vote for Donald Trump. That's just all it is to this man. There has never been a president who sparked so much divisiveness and racism in the United States in the history of the presidency. This white boy is ridiculous, brother.
Absolutely.
We got Massa in the plantation house again. This is all it is to it. So I agree with Joe Biden. Hell, if you vote for Donald Trump, I don't think you're black. You can't be. If you are, you're retarded and black. That's just all it is to it. I'm sorry. You'd be mad as hell at me. I don't care if you voted for him. That's your business. You need to seek help. Yeah, that's all I can tell you. You need to get your psychological evaluation and go down there and tell the people you need a check. So you've got to be crazy as hell. Yeah, that's just the way I feel. Now, that may not be the way anybody else feels, but y'all ask me, so I'm telling you. So don't ask me no questions. I tell you no
lie. Let's see what Raina has. About
it.
Raina, you
want to
say something on it?
Oh yes. I didn't see where you said anything wrong.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm just laughing
okay.
at what you said.
Yeah, no, I don't see where he said anything wrong, especially when he was basically speaking the truth. And it's funny on how we can't handle the truth, apparently.
That's right.
Because why are we outraged? I mean, I'm seeing posts on Facebook. I'm seeing and some of the stuff I'm seeing on Facebook is fake. But still, I'm seeing these posts where there's this anti-Joe Biden campaign going on. And I'm like, what in the world are you guys doing? Because if this man gets reelected, and if things are as bad as they are now, what in the world do you think the next 4 years is going to be like? I'm trying
what?
To move to Canada. If this man
is like
reelected, I don't even want to be in the
like
United States anymore.
If the Democrats nominate Donald Duck to be the damn Democratic, I'm voting for Donald damn Duck. I promise you. Ain't no way in the world I go back to go down there and vote for no damn Donald J. Trump.
No, and I said I'd rather vote for Kermit the Frog first before I voted for anybody like
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. they put a Muppet up there, and I'm going with the Muppet.
Exactly. I mean, just anybody else. And I'm hoping if by chance, if does win, I'm hoping that there's a Democratic House and Senate to lock him in place where he can't do anything too much. But I really do hope
right.
Joe Biden wins. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote in all elections from here on out. I voted in the primary this time around, which is something that I will admit that I've never done before. But it's
right.
clear, it's screaming that you have to vote all the time and every time.
You know what, Raina, that amazed me, that, and I don't know if a lot of people saw this, but when Obama was voted in to be the president, I saw I think she was 89-year-old black lady, right, who got on national TV and said that was her first time ever voting in an election.
I cannot believe it.
How in the world are you 89 years old? You've lived through the civil rights movement and all of the other foolishness that has happened. You know, she's seen all the lynchings and the beatings and and voter what do they call it, where you deter voter deterrence from polls. How do you see all of that and you make this your first time ever in the history of United States of voting and you're 89 years old? That right there, like I said, my black society is terrible, man. I'm sorry. We have some people who do not do it. We want to holler about the white man holding us down, but hell, we holding each other down too, damn it.
Okay.
We hold. Look here. Let me tell you something. We hold each other down just as bad as any white man has ever been assigned to holding us down. Hell, we worse because we right here in the community holding each other down, stabbing each other, and stealing from each other and every damn thing else from each other. And believe me, they know what they're doing. They come, all they got to do is come over here and pump a bunch of dope in our neighborhoods and stuff like that. They pump a bunch of heroin, a bunch of weed, a bunch of, you know, opiates and all that right here in our neighborhood and keep us off our game and keep us backbiting and fighting amongst one another. So we'd never organize and get ourselves, on a track to better our community. How in the world are you 89 years old and ain't nobody never just grabbed you and said, look here, mama, we going down here and vote. You going to bring your behind on national TV at 89 years old talking about this your first. She should have been embarrassed as hell. You know, a lot of people talking about that's great. I was like, the hell it is. Now, I just think different, I guess. Maybe it was just me. But I don't see no glory in her at 89 years old talking about that's her first damn election she been ever voted in. She need a whooping.
The numbers on the black vote for Obama wasn't stifling either. We didn't even vote for our own black president, really, to be honest.
Exactly, we did.
If you look,
That's why I understand that we don't understand. If all white people were bad, we still be slaves. That's for sure.
Exactly.
And you
exactly.
Got to understand that. Obama didn't get into office because we went in there and voted his ass in. Who voted in. Yeah, them white folks were voting for Obama too because.
That's
I'm
right.
Gonna tell you why, because Obama was something they had never seen before in their life. They had never seen a black man that popped up after all them years and didn't have no baby mamas or none of that come out the woodwork. Nobody talking about they sold him no dime bag of weed while he was in school or nothing. Where he was come out of a petri dish somewhere or something, out of a test tube. And he was a nominee. They was like, wait a minute, he is not like no regular black man. So that's why the white folks voted for him. He had a charisma that they had never seen before. And as any racist white boy will say, he wasn't like the rest of them. You know,
I'm going to have to say this, J.D. When you said if all whites were bad, we'd be slaves again.
Yeah.
I don't think I can't make it, bro. I wouldn't make it.
Oh, me either. Hey man,
they be trying to chop my feet off.
I ain't running. They just gonna go down kill.
Cause I'm gonna be in the house. Everything in there gotta go. Everything in the house gotta go. I don't care nothing about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make it.
Yeah,
I'd be in the history book. They'd be the first black man burn up every White House he been in.
There it is. You ain't lying. I'll be the same way. Yo, I'll
kill everybody now. Even the dog. Dog gotta go too.
I'm gonna tell you like my daddy used to say, you act like slaves fill out job applications or something. They didn't want to be slaves.
They can't read.
They fill out no application. Yeah, my daddy said, I said, what? He said, yeah, people were slaves because that's what they were. They didn't fill out the applications for it.
But the ones that are slaves today is because they
choose. And let me tell you something, Ray. A bunch of them died too. Look, you had them jumping off the boat before they even got over here. Because they knew what was coming.
Hey, all the time.
Yeah, they wasn't coming over here, and that's what had to happen to me. You going to kill me or throw me off the side of the boat or something, but I'm not coming over here and work for you for free.
Oh, yeah, you got to go and do me in, because I can't make
Yeah, I wouldn't have made it either, but I ain't even like this. First of all, it's too hot out here.
Hang on.
I'm lazy as hell. Yeah. But anyway, Raina, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. We enjoyed your commentary on the different subjects. And we look forward to you joining us again on another broadcast, because we love to talk about all things. It doesn't matter. We love good topics. So if you have something that you want to share with us next week, feel free. We're here every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. So just feel free to give us, you know, chime in the same way you did tonight. And like I said, we appreciate you joining the show, and we certainly enjoyed it. So
thank you. I enjoyed myself as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ray?
Yay.
Ray, good job, brother.
Yes, sir.
You found. Yeah, good job. I love when we have people that come on the air with us who have something pertinent to talk about and a good conversation. So we certainly appreciate it. So, Ray, we're going to go ahead and let you sign off tonight, brother. You go ahead from the dirty Mississippi, and you keep yourself safe down there, brother, and we look forward to seeing you back here in Houston, Texas, as soon as possible. Go ahead and
all
sign
the
off.
Time. All the time. All right, this is Trainer Ray here down in the dirty sizzy up, trying to let you know, thank you for joining the 219 to talk tonight. If you need to reach me, you can hit me on my new website for fitnessevolutionllc.com, or you can hit me on my email at fitnessevolution350@yahoo.com, or call me at 662-368-2152. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. Y'all have a great evening.
Right.
219 to talk. 219 to talk.